Hello and welcome to the Industrial Machine Builders podcast series. This is episode 3, Building a Go-to-Market Plan, or as I like to say, how to market and sell your digital transformation solutions. Hopefully you've enjoyed the series so far, or maybe you just jumped straight to episode 3, which if you did, welcome. This is part of a 4-episode series to kind of help machine builders understand and unpack a little bit what a digital transformation looks like. If you want to go back in time, hey, maybe you didn't catch our introduction episode 1 or episode 2, or we talked about considerations for the strategy, you can go and find those at www.ptc.com/industrialmachinebuilders/podcast, or go back in the podcast track path you're in, which is the easy way. And also you can go to that website to understand how to get a hold of us, or if you want to share this with other individuals in your organization. And so I'm really happy that John Cadane is joining me again for episode 3. Thanks, John, for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Justin.
And what we talked about in previous episodes was how the strategy of a digital transformation is an industrial machine builder. But, you know, it's not good enough to change, have a good strategy or what I'm going to sell. But how now does that change how I sell and message and market? And so we're going to talk about that, and John's taught me quite a lot in this area, so I'm excited for you to share with us. And so as we go through that, what's kind of a model or a format that we can kind of base this new strategy of selling and marketing that I need to have?
So let's take this like it's a brand new product and a brand new idea and a brand new place, right? Machine builders, many of them have long histories of being successful in business, and they know very much how to do the business that they're in. What we're talking about today is no longer selling the equipment that they've been comfortable selling for a long time. We're talking about doing something really new. So let's go back to the beginning. And I think lots of folks are familiar with this notion of a stage gate process, but we're going to use that as the model for how to take this forward. And stage gate just means you think, you plan, and then you do. It's not a new topic. I think lots of folks out there already understand it. But the whole idea is to minimize the risk, both on financial and resource allocation. If you plan and you execute and you take feedback, you are much more likely to fail small and get it right by the time you go to market. There are examples of this on the web. We're just going to use one outline that's convenient for today.
Yeah, no, that's good, because I think it's simple. It's easy to understand, because this can become such a huge topic. And so, you know, John, stage one of that think, plan, do in this model we're using is discovery, defining the idea. And so what does that mean if I'm going into a discovery phase of defining my ideas?
Well, again, we're going past the point where a strategy has been selected. So the company has kind of decided what they want to do going forward here. But now it's time to put some real form to it. It's like if you draw a stick figure, now it's time to put clothes on it. So first thing is to spell out the business and the product offering idea. And one convenient way to do that, again, you can find a model of this on the web, is to construct a customer value proposition. And that's where you define who your customer is, and then what is the need that they have that is currently unmet? What is it you're going to try to solve for them? What value are you going to bring? And in that regard, what's the product or service offering, the service solution you're bringing to the problem? Then if you think about what their alternatives might be to what you're going to offer them, it tells you how you can couch it. And then you ask yourself, does anybody else at that customer benefit? So that you have a really clear idea about the total value that you're bringing to the firm. When you can summarize all of that into an elevator pitch, when somebody says to you, hey, what is this new thing? And you can, in 25 to 50 words, tell them exactly what it is, what you do, for whom, and what that problem solution is going to be. Now you're at a good jumping off point to move forward.
I like the idea of focusing on the customer's unmet need, right? So I'm not coming to the market saying, here's a thing I have, I hope you like it. It's actually saying, hey, customer, I know you, and I recognize that there's a challenge you have, and here is my proposed solution to drive impact against that challenge that you have.
You know, and you've mentioned before about this idea of becoming the trusted advisor. You know, who's going to know better what that end user's problems are than the person that supplies the equipment that helps them do what they do on a daily basis. It's just another way of extending your position as that trusted advisor.
Yeah, it's really using that earned trust you have. Right. But amazingly, and that's again what I like about this model, not just to your benefit as the machine builder, but you're actually focusing on how it benefits the customer. So that's a great stage one. Stage two, scoping, what's involved. So what is, if we unpack this, what are we looking to do here, John?
Well, now you're trying to figure out how you're going to go about doing this and what it's actually going to take. So one of the great places to start with this is what I call looking in the mirror questions. So if you start from the idea that today we sell equipment and now we're going to do something that is no longer selling equipment, what is that going to be? You've supposedly selected that in the strategy that you've developed, but are you going to monitor? Is it going to be part of a service program? Is it a value-added SLA? Or is it a process improvement that you're going to commit to helping your customer with downstream? Once you've really said, okay, that's what I want to do, why are we doing it? Are we doing it to generate revenue? Are we doing it to improve our market position? Are we doing it to generate profit? It tells you what the overall program's got to look like to accomplish those goals. And do we have the organization and the focus to do this? So skill set for this kind of thing. You have to sell differently. You have to build something that isn't going to be made out of steel. Is it so different that we need a whole new team, right? And if we have a whole new team, who's going to own the program? Somebody's got to be responsible for this whole thing. Otherwise, it's going to fall flat.
Yeah. And again, you know, I noticed something came out here, John, which is I heard again, you know, that impact now inward facing. But there's this thread each time you're talking about these is we keep going back to kind of the why, right? The impact, why is this being done for my customer? Why am I doing this? That why is so important.
So there's a fairly straightforward notion in marketing. If you start from the position of what's in it for me, WIFM or WIFM, if you put yourself in your customer's shoes and try to figure out what's in it for them and then what's in it for you, it helps put some real clarity around the project that you're trying to execute.
I like it. So speaking of the customer, how do we go about kind of in this messaging strategy, really analyzing our customers, but also, you know, competitors that are out there, people who can work with me as part of the ecosystem?
Well, this may sound trivial to a lot of folks, but the simple-minded way of doing this is a SWOT analysis, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. So you look at your own company, right? What are your goals? What are your focus? What's your culture, your strengths, and your weaknesses? And then you look at the outside world, right? The basis for what you think you're going to be able to sell and accomplish. Who are those customers? How many are there? What types are they? Can you divide them up into different kinds of companies with different kinds of needs? Where are they? How are you going to reach them? When you figure that out, now you have a customer segmentation notion. You can think about what the percentage of sales you think you're going to get from each one of them, and whether or not you have to even customize the product based on the unique description of each of those customers. Then you look at the outside world and the competition. Who's doing what I'm doing now, right? Is there an alternative? Given what the competition looks like, how is my offering going to be seen? How is it going to be positioned? Am I going to be able to compete effectively? And then you look at your overall ecosystem. Who else do you need to be part of this activity? Do you have joint venture partners? Do you have distributors? Who's going to be part of this activity? When you put it all together in that SWOT analysis, it's a pretty straightforward thing to do. Now you have a relatively clear picture of what the environment looks like in which you have to compete. And then when you have that picture, now you can go ahead to start building the business case. What revenue, cost, margin, investment, return on investment over time you're going to get.
So once I've built out that case, now I need to actually go out and validate against that case, right? To make sure, because this is new space for me. I need to make sure that I'm hitting what I thought I would and my assumptions are correct. If I do that, I've got this, what do I do with it?
Well, so the simple-minded version again is go ask the people you want to sell to. Again, machine builders have a unique position with their customers, that trusted advisor. I've been with you for a long time. I help you do what you do every day. I'm thinking about doing something new. What do you think? This is what I think it would look like. This is what it would feel like. This is kind of where the price tag is going to be. Because you're going to go back and ask those folks to buy from you eventually. Yeah. There's no reason not to ask them about how are they thinking about what you're offering them now. And it'll also tell you whether or not the way you're describing it is effective, because if they look at you with a big question mark, you haven't done a good job of explaining yourself.
Got to go back to a couple minutes ago in this podcast and restart that activity if you're there.
Back to the think, plan, do. Right now you're not spending a lot of money. You're investing some time, and you're thinking about, in an organized way, what am I going to do for whom?
Yeah. And so with that and that mature viewpoint that you've validated now you can go to management, get buy-in, which, you know, makes getting budget a lot easier. And now you have a clear, to your point, a clear way forward, right? Without the investment up front financially. Yes, some time investment, but not this massive initiative that underwent. So if I'm moving out of that stage, you know, what you have now next is stage three, building a strategy. And you often talk about the four P's. So can you explain that to everyone?
Well, again, it's a little bit of a marketing buzzword. This typology has been around for a long time, but it still is effective. It's one of the reasons it's still around. So the four P's, right? Product, price, place, and promotion. And let's take that apart a little bit. So let's start with product. Everybody thinks they know what a product is. It's what I have today. It's what I sold. It's what somebody uses. And I would encourage you to think about it from the standpoint of what's the whole product. That's W-H-O-L-E, the entire product. The analogy is, think about a kid that you've known or might even be yours that's been bugging you for a present for their birthday. I want it. It's got to be this thing. You wrap it up. You deliver it. They tear it open. They see the box. It's wonderful. Thank you. And it requires batteries to run. So the whole product is everything that the user has to have in order to experience the value that you're promising them. So that aspect of, I didn't have the batteries, that kid can't play with that toy that they've looked for so long. If you haven't taken that into account, you're absolutely not going to deliver what your customer expects. They have to have everything. So what's part of that? Well, you need to think about the brand, right? Is it going to be the same thing as what you're selling today? If you're a heavy machine company and you're selling now software that goes along with it or services, do you want a brand along with the hardware? Maybe it needs to be a little bit different. What else is going to be in that portfolio of products? Does there have to be a service aspect to go along with it? Are you going to tie it together with your current field service offering? You need to make sure that we're talking now about IoT, that security is part of the package. It's not just enough to have the look and feel and delivering the data. You have to make sure that everybody's data is safe. Have you taken into account warranties and your agreements around uptime for your application? Have you taken into account terms and conditions and any legal things that go along with it? Might be a little different than the hardware you're selling today. Do you have packaging? Do you have documentation? And do you have a support organization? Because somebody's going to call and ask you a question. That's kind of the whole product.
Yeah, so it's especially in industrial machine builders, you're used to doing that with the things you make in steel, right? Because I'm always ready to answer the call that my customers have when they have down production. But now, again, I have to take that viewpoint for these new solutions coming out. So I really like that. The second P you said was price.
It is. And this is your opportunity for recurring revenue. So unless you have a really serious consumables business as part of the machinery that you offer, the razor blade thing, this is a place for you to deliver recurring revenue on a time-specific basis, which you don't necessarily have in the hardware side of things. So the question is going to be, do you sell recurring revenue today? If you don't, you have to think about it a little bit differently. What's the time period? What's the price level that you want to offer? And you have to think about the pricing for this kind of a service maybe a little differently than the way you price for your hardware. A lot of companies in the steel-oriented machinery business like to think about things on a cost-plus basis. I need to maintain a certain margin.
Yeah.
This is different. Your cost of goods sold here is not going to be exactly the same. Mm-hmm. You have the opportunity to generate a whole lot more margin. So you need to think about that a little bit differently. And along with the pricing, you know, who are you going to give a discount to? Who are you going to give the authority to? Are you going to bundle it with your service offering? Again, term and terms. How long are you going to offer a price tag for? Are you going to offer leasing or financing? It's all part of the pricing discussion.
Yeah, and there's a lot there, but it is doable. It's just things you have to work through and find the members in your team who can go through that. And if you do it up front, it's not that difficult because you can iterate on it early on, right, to hit what you're looking for. And so we go to that third P, place and that fourth P, promotion, if you can explain those two.
So place, right? It's really distribution. And in this case, we're talking about a service, but it's sales planning, right? How are you going to sell? Who's going to sell? Do you have a sales plan? Do you have an appropriate sales team that's going to be able to cover that customer grouping? Do you have a sales plan? Do you know what territories they're going to have to cover? And then there's the enablement piece. So remember, it's not necessarily the same for a sales guy to talk about that piece of equipment as it is to talk about this recurring revenue and value. Can your current sales team do it? Or do you need to think about finding another team someplace, maybe from a rep house, maybe from a different group of folks? They need to be able to understand how to do this because it is different.
So this is real quick. I just want to emphasize this is so important, right? We're saying digital transformation changes everything about your organization. Often our sales and marketing teams kind of get left out of that equation. What you're saying is no, that it changes what they're doing just as much. And we need to take that into account.
You do. And I guess the last piece of that is the logistics of actually getting your gear connected in the field. If you're able to be connected today and it's a simple matter of flipping that switch and getting it done, fabulous. If you have a brownfield opportunity where you have lots of stuff distributed, but you have to figure out how to get it hooked up, little different problem, something else you got to take into account.
And so, you know, we're going to jump through this here towards the end, because I only have you for a couple more minutes here, John, is promotion, right? So can you explain promotion, that last P for us?
Real quick, right? You're talking about selling something new. You got to tell the customers that it's available. So what goals do you have? Do you have a place on your website? Are you going to do advertising or PR or promotional programs that would involve events, lunch and learns, demonstrations, right? Those things all need to be able to be taken into account, and you need a budget for it. And Justin, I'd like to just add a fifth P. You need a project plan. All of this stuff is great. You just have to write it down and know who's going to be responsible for it.
Yeah, and I like that promotion too, right? If a digital transformation happens in a forest, does anybody know about it? And if you're some of our customers, the answer is yes, because they've gone through this process with you. So that final stage four, prototyping. So this is where, you know, we're going to go through the iteration. So can you talk us through that quickly?
I can. And this is no different than what you do with a new piece of hardware, right? It's make it, show it, see that it works. Don't spend a lot of time bringing it to market until you're sure you have delivered exactly what the customer wants. And you use this as an opportunity also to try out that pricing, right? If somebody says no, well, why did they say no? Was it too much? Did you not convey the value? Did they say yes right away? Maybe you left money on the table. It's an opportunity to learn more and spend less so that you do this in a thoughtful fashion.
Awesome. And so once we do that, you know, we need to recheck our assumptions. We need to validate with target customers. You know, we need to look what risks are there to doing this, and how can we work through that? Do we have that support plan in place you were talking about? That's key. We need to look at that budget again, and then we need to actually make sure that the P&Ls of our customers are being impacted. And is my P&L being impacted as well, profit and loss statement? So with the last 30 seconds we have here, you know, what are some key other things that we should look out for as we're building out this strategy, John?
So remember, we're doing something new. Is management on board? Have they signed off? Are the milestones agreed to so everybody knows what they're going to do and what they're going to get checked on for performance? Do you have the budget resources in place? Do you have all those elements of the whole product in place? Have you got the batteries attached to that toy? Do you have all your organizational elements stood up? Tech support, your networking support, customer service, etc. And have you trained all the folks that are going to be interacting with this new product and maybe a new customer base, sales, customer service, your service, field service teams, your distributor teams, and review the pricing one more time to make sure everybody's on board. This is fast, man. It's a complicated thing, but I think our machine builders know how to do it. They just need to think through it in a new way.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate your time. It is. You're right. There's so much we could talk about here. We have a limited amount of time here at PTC. We'd love to unpack this more with you and how, you know, you can go through a digital transformation. And I learn every time from you, John, so I appreciate it. Every time we talk about this, I take something new away. So I want to thank you, the listener, for joining us. This is episode 3 of a 4-episode series, the Industrial Machine Builder Podcast Series. If you're interested in other episodes, maybe you want to jump back, maybe you want to share this episode with your sales and marketing team, you can go to www.ptc.com/industrialmachinebuilder/podcast, or If you're looking to listen to the next one, you're in a podcast track, that's the easiest way. Go ahead and jump to the next episode or jump back and re-listen to this one. So thank you very much for your time today. And thank you for your time, John. And look forward to speaking with you in episode 4.